Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. On November 7, 2007, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the Hall Street Associates v. Mattel case. The court was asked to consider whether or not a federal court can enforce an arbitration agreement that provides for a more expansive judicial review of an arbitration award than the narrow standard of review provided for in the Federal Arbitration Act. In this episode of SCOTUS Cast, Mark Behrens, a partner at the D.C.-based law firm Shook, Hardy & Bacon, offers his own analysis of the case. As always, the Federalist Society itself takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Behrens.
On November 7, 2007, the United States Supreme Court will hear oral argument in Hall Street Associates v. Mattel, Inc., a case that is likely to impact the attractiveness of arbitration agreements to resolve disputes. Arbitration agreements are an increasingly popular alternative to traditional civil litigation and frequently arise in contractual and employment disputes. The issue in Mattel is whether parties to an arbitration agreement can agree to expand the grounds for vacating an arbitration award beyond the limited grounds listed in the Federal Arbitration Act. Toymaker Mattel was sued by its landlord, Hall Street Associates, an Oregon state court, for Mattel's failure to indemnify Hall Street for the cost of cleaning up contaminated well water at a toy manufacturing facility Mattel leased from Hall Street. After Mattel removed the case to federal court, the parties agreed to enter into arbitration. The arbitration agreement provided that the federal district court could override the arbitrator's decision if the arbitrator's conclusions of law were erroneous. This provision granted the federal court a broader role in reviewing the arbitrator's decision than is specifically granted in the Federal Arbitration Act. The Act contains only four narrow grounds for vacating an arbitration award, such as corruption, partiality, or misbehavior on the part of the arbitrator. Thus, erroneous conclusions of law by the arbitrator would provide a basis for federal court review under the parties' agreement, even though the Arbitration Act itself contains no such provision. The arbitrator heard the parties' arguments and ruled in favor of Mattel, finding that Mattel was not required to indemnify Hall Street because of a contractual exception that excluded liability if Mattel was in compliance with applicable environmental laws. The arbitrator found that the contaminated well water was a violation of Oregon's Drinking Water Quality Act, but the Act was not an applicable environmental law under the agreement because the Act was designed to protect human health and was not designed to protect landowners from having their property protected from environmental contamination. Hall Street moved to vacate the arbitrator's decision, seeking de novo review of the arbitrator's legal conclusion that a violation of the Drinking Water Quality Act was not a violation of an applicable environmental law under the agreement. The district court ruled that the arbitrator's conclusion on this point was erroneous. On remand, the arbitrator entered an amended decision in Hall Street's favor based on the district court's ruling that Mattel had violated an environmental law under the agreement. Mattel appealed the district court's decision, arguing that under the Ninth Circuit's 2003 en banc decision in Kyocera v. Prudential Beach Trade Services, the Federal Arbitration Act did not permit review of an arbitrator's decision beyond the limited statutory grounds listed in the Act. The Ninth Circuit agreed with Mattel and reversed the district court's decision to vacate the arbitrator's initial decision, noting that under Kyocera, the terms of an arbitration agreement controlling the mode of judicial review are unenforceable. The appellate court ruled that the initial award favoring Mattel must stand. On remand, the district court once again reversed the arbitrator's award, finding that the arbitrator had exceeded his powers by reaching an implausible interpretation of the lease agreement. Mattel again appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit once again reversed the district court, holding that implausibility is not a valid ground for vacating an arbitration award under the Arbitration Act. After the Ninth Circuit denied en banc review, Mattel filed its petition for writ of certiorari. The United States Supreme Court's decision will resolve a split among the circuit courts of appeal regarding the validity of arbitration agreements that provide for non-statutory grounds for vacating an arbitration award. The Ninth and Tenth Circuits have said that the only grounds for vacating an arbitrator's award are those specified in the Arbitration Act, and that parties' agreements to allow for broader judicial review are unenforceable. On the other hand, the First, Third, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Circuits have ruled that parties to an arbitration agreement may agree to non-statutory grounds for vacating arbitration awards. The split in the circuit courts represents a philosophical divide concerning how courts should construe the Federal Arbitration Act to encourage the use of arbitration. Those who support giving parties the freedom to agree to expanded judicial review of arbitration awards believe that this encourages the use of arbitration. If parties can be assured of a judicial remedy to correct legally erroneous arbitration awards, they may be more willing to enter into arbitration. Many companies facing the potential for a significant financial loss might be unwilling to enter into arbitration if there is no judicial protection against an arbitrator's legal error. On the other hand, those who support limiting the basis for judicial review to the narrow statutory grounds in the Act believe that the efficiency and lower costs that make arbitration attractive will be undermined if arbitrators' legal conclusions can be challenged in court. Arbitration could become a precursor to, instead of an alternative to, traditional civil litigation, making arbitration less efficient and more costly overall than the civil court system. It is also argued that allowing expanded judicial review of arbitration awards would frustrate Congress's intent to limit judicial intervention in arbitration awards and undermine the goal of finality. Finally, it is argued that the United States could become a less attractive forum for international commercial arbitration if arbitration seated in the United States become merely a preliminary step to prolong litigation in the U.S. courts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.